Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of John, the Gospel of John in the 16th chapter. Kind of cutting in the middle of here where Jesus is having his high priestly prayer, and he's near the end with his disciples, telling them he had to go to prepare a place for them. He's going to die, and he's going to rise again, etc. We're breaking into the middle of this, looking at John chapter 16, and we're just going to look at one verse. Verse 22. It would stand for the reading of the word. Seems to be just, you know, a simple verse. But there's so much depth and application here that I pray that God will use our efforts by His Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts in an eternal and weighty way. When we talk about the glory of God, we mean a revelation of God. The weight of who He is comes to bear. We say something's full of glory, it means it's full of who Jesus is. And we'll call today's message, When Jesus Gives You Joy. Just one verse. John 16, verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Lord, in the midst of all our sorrow now, transform it with your transcendent power. And help our sorrow to be joy. And those that would have it, no matter who or when or what, when they hear this message, or they just look at this verse, you would speak to them and show them that one day all the tears were wiped away. That we have sorrow now, but in the midst of our tears of sorrow, we can also have tears of joy. This we pray in Jesus' name, the one who is our joy. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, sometimes you got to have the bad news to get the good news. Sometimes you don't realize how good the good news was until you see the bad news behind it. You think, oh man, I got rerouted off traffic and I lost a couple of hours, but you went away from where the bomb hit or something. I mean, I just made that up on the top of my head. But you know how it is. You go through life with your children and they have to do some things that they don't want to do. They'd rather not do. But you make them do it because you see further than they do. And Jesus obviously saw further than the disciples did, but he was saying, I'm out of here. And so they were like, yikes. They were sorrowful. And you say, well, this isn't going to apply to me. Yes, it will. In this text, you're going to see temporal sorrow. First phrase, four phrases in this verse. So also you have sorrow now. But you also see transforming joy. But I will see you again. Change their whole outlook on things. And you see transcendent joy, and your hearts will rejoice because of who you see that I am. Not just who I was, but who I've become. You see, sometimes you've got to lose things to get better things. We'll say that over and over again. Jesus had to go away to become even more than he was. More than once. More than once. So you see temporal sorrow, transforming joy, transcendent joy, and timeless joy. And no one will take your joy from you. Right there in the passage. That's the simple outline. We're going to kind of bounce back and forth. But the fact is, Jesus was talking about going away. But the disciples didn't understand what was going on. And they were confused. What? Aren't you bringing the kingdom? What? You've raised other people from the dead. What's going on? Why would you leave now? You just got something going just the sweet spot the way you want it, and then you lose it? I worked so hard for this relationship, this job, this house, whatever it may be. And then they were going to lose it. I mean, they had joy because Jesus was there. There were just these poor fishermen and tax collectors and everybody, the refuse. No one wanted them. But now they were with Jesus, and great crowds followed them. And of course, they were whittling away because Jesus was saying things like, eat my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And you think, that's hard. What if I told you I was coming back? And well, you know, we could go on and on. Jesus wasn't trying to attract a big crowd. He was bringing in the sheep. But they had joy because Jesus was there. Then they would feel sorrow when he died. That's what he's talking about here. For now you have sorrow. I'm telling you, I'm about to die. I'm going away. You won't see me. But then they would have joy again when he rose from the dead. But you will see me again. Isn't that the way we want it in life? Jesus seems to be absent in our life. But then he shows up again. Woo! Somebody need Jesus to show up today? He's going to. He's going to. Oh, he's here. But if he was here, and then he came and sat down next to you and said, how can I help you? Or just smiled at you. You know he knows what you know is gone. And if he's right there with you, that's what you want. You've got his ear. He's listening. But they would have joy again when he rose from the dead. Then confusion again when he ascended. Here he goes. He's back here 40 days. And he goes, I'm out of here again. Now, I mean, that's what happened. He ascended and they're all looking around going, what? And the angels had to tell him, stop looking around. Go do what he told you to do. Doesn't that happen? You pray about Jesus coming and doing something. He comes and does something. And he takes off again. You're like, wait a minute. I thought I was doing the right thing. And they were. But something better was going to happen. Better than Jesus? Yes. More Jesus. Transformed Jesus. More powerful in your life. Oh, yes. But then they would have joy again when the Holy Spirit came down, right? Here they go from sorrow to joy, confusion, joy. Ah! But that's life. Who better to help us through that? And this is so powerful, I'm telling you. But they're all going to wait for that final. We're all waiting for that final and full joy when Jesus comes again to reign as King. Because right now the church is waiting and saying, when, Lord? My goodness, Lord. How bad can it get, Lord? Then we look at what happens in other countries and go, oh, no, please, never that bad. This is what Jesus does. He transforms sorrow into joy. And when you first meet Jesus, what does he do? He turns your sorrow over your sins into joy for him. You see yourself as you really are. You see him as he really is. And you think, uh-oh. But he comes to you in love and says, I'll take that. I'll give you this. And your sorrow of, I'm going to hell, turns into, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. You meet Jesus, and he's your Savior. That's how you meet him first. I mean, you think you meet him when you're 11 years old and go, oh, you broke your leg. You think you're going to die. Or you lose your girlfriend, right? Or you get an F on a test, whatever it may be. But when you really meet Jesus as Savior, that's what he's doing. He's turning your sorrow over your sins, which was a good thing. You needed to have it, into joy over him as Savior. Anybody met Jesus in that way? Amen. Amen. Somebody needs to say amen, I got to tell you. Hopefully that's you today if you don't know him. But in your Christian walk, when Jesus is with you, it gives you joy. And when he seems absent, it gives you sorrow. Is that right? Is that right? When he seems to go away, when you have that dark night of the soul, the Puritans would call it, right? When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you find out that he is with you, that he shows up, he brings his light, he manifests himself to your heart, it causes you to rejoice. You know that's what it is. You're like sitting around and things aren't good and you're worried about what's going to happen here and what's going to happen here and boy, that's definitely going to happen there. But then you're like, I don't know what to do, and you're crying out to Jesus, and then a verse comes to you, someone calls you, you get some kind of breakthrough, something happens, Jesus just shows up, and what happens? Yay! Right? When you're down in the dumps, depressed, despairing, but then he shows up. When he overcomes some sort of sin in your life. When you've grieved the Holy Spirit, but now you repented and he moves in your life. Amen to that. Amen. Yeah. When Jesus gets you out of a jam. When he gives you a certain sense of peace. And he floods your soul with his presence. When he reveals himself in a deep and powerful and a sort of new way, it brings a new and a fresh and exciting joy into your life. You see him as helper, as healer, as deliverer, as Lord. You see Jesus again and it brings you joy. You're a Christian. You're definitely going to heaven. You love Jesus. You want to worship him, but you're just feeling down and out and everything like that. And then, boom, something happens. And you're like, yes. You know what it's like. Does anybody know what that's like? Amen. Do we need some of that right now? Jesus, please show up. Amen. See, that's what the revelation of Jesus Christ to your heart and in your life does. Now, some people right now, it hasn't clicked on right now, but you're going to go from a question mark to an exclamation point. Question mark to light bulb to exclamation point, you know? That's what needs to happen. And he can do that throughout your life. And you can be cynical all day in here, or you're listening to me online or whatever, and I've got to tell you, When you have sorrow, what you need to do is you need to see Jesus again. Amen. Yes, as a Christian, Jesus is always with you. Amen. But what you need is for Jesus to reveal himself to you in a way that overcomes your sorrow. The reason you pick those sins again and again and fall back in that same pattern is because you fall back on the same fears instead of falling on Jesus, your cornerstone. Don't let that beat you up. Realize, Lord, I do love you. What am I missing here? Yeah. Sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus transforms your sorrow into joy. This is the worst sorrow you could have, being with Jesus right there with you physically, and then he's saying, I'm going away. They were like, ah! He says, you'll see me again. You'll see me again with a transcendent, a timeless joy. In this world, you take joy in many things. It's not wrong. Many things, many places, many people, many relationships, and many experiences. It's good. When I gave those children that candy, they had joy. And our going to be 70-year-old in February friend, haha, also took joy in getting that candy. But the candy don't last. And if you eat too much of it, you'll have a heart attack like I did. You know, and diabetes and all that. So things can take your joy from you. And it's harder to learn to moderate things. You know, I've had some issues there. Yeah. A lot of things you can get, take joy in. I take joy. We're going to have grandkid number 8 coming in February. Joy. And we were at my aunt just passed away, and the uncles were there, and my cousins were there, and we were looking through all the old photo albums, and I saw my cousin with her unbelievably wickedly high 80s hair. And I'm like, boo, you got to see this. She goes, oh, no. And her friend was in the picture, and she called her friend because she's still friends with it. Isn't that joyful? You have a friend, you can share that. Remember when? I said, the 80s called. They want their hair back. Of course, then there was the photo of me, and I just won't even get into that. You can take joy in lots of things, and it's good. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's good. I mean, we take joy in grandchildren because, you know, it's revenge on the children. Ha-ha! But those things don't always last, the things you take joy in, right? They don't always last, and you can't always get to them, can't always afford them, you can't always have them, and you can't always keep them. Circumstances can change your enjoyment of things. Some things you used to enjoy, you can't or won't do anymore. You no longer do them. And I got to be honest, sorrow usually rules over joy. Sorrow can take the joy out of most anything you can do. Right? You used to love doing this, but now it's all you can do, so you don't love it anymore. Is anybody with me? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Because we're not even started yet. This is all preface. You see, Jesus can give you a joy that nothing can take away. In 2 Corinthians 6:10, the Apostle Paul is talking back and forth about the ups and downs and all arounds of his ministry. And he said he was sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And if you read 2 Corinthians 11, you see, man, he had it out. And people were doubting him as an apostle. Here's the guy that's doing all this stuff, and they said, he's not an apostle. We're super apostles. Read 2 Corinthians and figure that out. And he's doing so well, God gave him a personal demon to keep him humble. Yay! Thorn in the side. And he asked God, get rid of it. And God said, no. Yikes. Sorrowful. Wait till you see. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. See, we see that and we think, yeah, that's the Apostle Paul. That can be you. Yes. But how do you get there? That's what we're going to talk about. Yes, amen. I need it. We sang it this morning. Man of sorrows, what a name, right? What a great song. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's known as the man of sorrows, but he's also known as the man that was anointed with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. Paul said you're supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. And he goes, and again I say rejoice. Because it means even when you have sorrow, and especially when you have sorrow. The two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, were, I don't know, talking about the color of the church. Our color of the church is painted, by the way, and that's it. But anyway, except we're going to paint the inside of the other building. I'm taking reservations now. But the issue is they were having an issue. And he says, but rejoice in the Lord, especially when you have sorrow, especially when things aren't going right. That's the right time to focus on who Jesus is and what he's done, who he is to you and what he'll do for you. It isn't hypocritical to have sorrow and joy at the same time. You have to learn to deal with it in this life. Romans 12:15 says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep. Sometimes you're around both and sometimes you are both. You see, we think we can't do it. We think, how can I love this person when I don't accept what they're doing? How can I be joyful with this when someone out there cannot be? Right? How can I enjoy this blessing when someone else seems to be cursed? How can I be happy for their blessing when I seem to be cursed? Hello, somebody that isn't even here. See, sometimes we're both. Sometimes we're both. That isn't hypocrisy. That's maturity. If you've ever seen that movie Inside Out, the Pixar movie, you should see that. You should see that. Where at the end, you know, the sorrow and the joy come together and everything like that. That'll really speak to you. Inside Out. Yeah, it's a secular thing and all that, but it's telling you God's truth. You've got to mature. It isn't just joy, 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 joy. I don't want those people around me. I don't want just blah, 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 Eeyore either. I want the mature person that says, you know, my son didn't call me back. I'm concerned about that. Let's pray about that. Would you please? But I got my granddaughter here, and I'm worshiping Jesus, and me and the pastor are getting along pretty good, right? It's okay, man. I got some coffee, you know? That's the thing. We can take offense at things, become cynical at everything, and just be sorrowful about everything, or we can just ignore it all and escape it all and get high and do whatever and sex, drugs, and rock and roll and ignore it that way too. But life will hit you in this life. You will have sorrow. You will have things. But fear not, I've overcome the world. But we think, okay, that's Jesus, and that's in the future. What about now? How can Paul say this? How can he say to do these things? There's some magic power. I need to get zapped. What's going on here? You know, when Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, doesn't mean all things are good or all things feel good. It means that Christians can know that God is working his plan even when things aren't very good. And when you have great sorrow, know that great joy will come again to you. But what is the source and substance of that joy? Now we're getting somewhere. Sometimes the thing that brought you joy doesn't get recovered, doesn't get reconciled, doesn't get restored. Now you're already feeling, oh, no, no, don't say it. Be like the Psalms. Let's get it out here. Let's not pretend. Sometimes it doesn't get better. Sometimes you do lose friends. Sometimes you do lose loved ones. Sometimes they're not coming back. But Jesus is the source and the substance. He's the one that gives it to you, and he's it himself. The substance of your deepest joy. He's the one you need to see when friendships end, when finances crumble, when health fades away, and when loved ones die. Life isn't just supposed to be all happy and no sad. You aren't supposed to wake up every day and say, I'm great, life is great, and everything is great. That's a lie. That's not true. And that's not the way God wants it. Oops. He could have stayed there and just made everything with a wave of his hand. He said, you know, I can call down legions of angels right now, Pilate. I'm doing this because I'm supposed to do it. You aren't supposed to be happy all the time. That isn't until the next life. In this life, you have to learn to have both sorrow and joy, and people don't do that well. That's why they go back to addictions. That's why they go back to whatever it is. That's why they stay in a crucible, and they don't become what they ought to be. Don't beat yourself up over this. Hear the grace in this message. He goes, I am leaving. You will have sorrow, but I will return. Then you'll have a joy that they can't take from you because it'll be more than I am now. Jesus was going to become more to them than he was already. You see, we think we don't want to let go of that thing because otherwise, and that's why we make the bad decisions. And sometimes God says, let go. People try to avoid sorrow. They try to live a life without sorrow. They think the goal is to have no sorrow. But the Bible and life tell you that you will have sorrow. And yet you don't have to wallow in your sorrow. Now we're making the pivot. It isn't a sin to have sorrow. But you can sin in your sorrow by not allowing God to minister to you in your sorrow or trying to limit him in the ways he wants. I'll take it, but I'm not taking it from you. That's a sin. It grieves the Spirit of God when you turn to sin instead of Him in your sorrow. But Jesus, listen to me, Jesus can transform your sorrow. Don't go to a church that says you'll never have any sorrow if you just pay enough tithe, if you just do this, you just do this and all that. They're lying to you. And your faith will be shipwrecked because your faith will be in the wrong place. You can fool yourself for many years. You can have enough money to, and stuff to go on for a long time, just like Solomon. It wasn't that all the things he did was bad. It's that he went from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, and he found out that all that was just vapor. Just grasping its smoke at the wind without God in it. He said, but God's with me, I'm saved. Keep hearing me. Jesus is the living embodiment of what joy really is. He can bring His transcendent joy and transform sorrowful situations into a revelation of Himself. Do you understand that in the passage? He was leaving, right? They were going to have sorrow, and He was going to transform that into joy by coming back. Then He was going to leave again. But then the Holy Spirit was going to come as He left again. And now He's coming back again. The cycle isn't done yet. And in your own life, He's been there to save you. He's been there as healer. He seems absent. You need Him. He shows up. You see Him, and He gives you a joy that you can hold on to. But then He says, I want you to go to the next thing. Let go of the whoopee. You know what I'm talking about, the whoopee?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The little duck or the little thing, the kid, they're 9 years old now, and they still won't let go of it. Now, if they were 19, what happens then? Right? And you're 56, and, well, anyway. He can bring transcendent joy, transforming a sorrowful situation to a revelation of Himself. Even in tears of sorrow, you can have tears of joy. It's true. Now let me explain and bring this thing home. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. The disciples were starting to realize that they were going to lose the personal presence of the one they had left everything for. The one they followed, the one they lived with, the one they had come to adore, to worship, to totally depend on. The one who did miracles and who gave them the power to do miracles. The one they believed that was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was going to go away. Remember Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration? Let's just hang out. It's not going to get any better than this. He said, you got to go back down on the mountain. And then he went back to the down and couldn't get the demon out. Now, see? We think, but why didn't I just stay there? It would have been better. Jesus was everything to these men, but He was going to become even more to them. Think about it. But He had to go away to accomplish that. And He had to go away more than once to fully do that. You need to realize something about that from this text. This is one of the major lessons of the Bible. Are you listening? Say amen. Listen up. Wake up. Listen now. God will take certain things away from you. And it may not be because you messed it up. God may take them away, even good things, even things that aren't spoiling you, even things you are being a good steward of, even things that help you to be more godly. And it will hurt. You might not understand why. But God has a good plan for you. And sometimes you have to lose good things in order to see other things. Sometimes you have to lose good things in order to see other things. Sometimes you have to let go of good things in order to grab hold of greater things. Sometimes even Jesus needs to go away in order to come back in a greater way. You hear that? He had to go away as this miracle worker and come back as the resurrected Lord. And then He had to go away as the resurrected Lord so the Holy Spirit could come down and invade them personally. And then the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out and the world's going to go to pot, and then Jesus is going to come back physically, fully, and finally, and that will be the joy that no one can take away. Again, sometimes even Jesus needs to go away in order to come back in a greater way. The greatest joy that Jesus can give you is a greater revelation of Himself. Think about the text. Think about this. How do they have greater joy? after he left, when he came back risen. How did they have greater joy than that? After he risen, then he ascended, when he came down in the power of the Holy Spirit and they saw the Holy Spirit spreading out like crazy. How are they going to have even greater joy than that? When they come back with him and all of us, right? The greatest joy that Jesus can give you is a greater revelation of himself. It's like, yeah, I know Jesus. I'm saved. I'm talking to you. You know that. I'm saved and all that. But then if you need something, it's like, and then Jesus is there. It's like, now I see Jesus as this. That's what gives you joy, because you say, Jesus has got me. He's not just saving my soul. He's redeeming my life. He's changing me around. I'm not just clean for 18 years. God gave me a wife and children and grandchildren and things that I never thought I could have. You know, I had to adopt them and all this. And other people might say, well, they're not legitimate. They're this, that, and the other thing, you know. But God doesn't see it that way, does he? I still have joy in them, don't I? Yeah. Yeah. You think, oh, my son, my daughter, I've lost. Yeah, it's terrible sorrow. But are you going to trust Jesus to bring you through? And when you do, and when you see him, then you have this. You don't have to feel guilty. Oh, I must not have loved them enough because I have more joy. No, it's not the joy that he's given you that way. It's the revelation of himself as your joy. That's what your joy is about. That's what you don't have to feel guilty and have sorrow about. It's okay to feel good. He just wants to overcome that sorrow in your life with his joy, transform it with his transcendent power. The greatest joy that Jesus can give you is a greater revelation of himself. Do you believe me? Now, in 1 Peter 1, 7, and 8, the Apostle Peter writes about the trial of your faith. And he says that God reveals your faith to you through that trial, and it's more precious than gold, even though it feels like fire when you're going through it. Anybody in a trial right now? I know that you are because you talk to me. And I know that you are because you're human. Right. And someone you know is it. There's always sorrow. You can't get away from it. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to let Jesus transform that. So even in the middle of that, that's called the full armor of God. Because that's what Satan will do, is bring that to you. And when you're over that, and Jesus is over that, that's a revelation of Jesus to you. That's the beautiful thing. That's what Christians know. And that's what they continue to know and learn more of. And then we encourage other guys and other girls, and we say, look, this is bad. I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm not saying get over it. I'm saying let Jesus get on top of you. Again, Peter, in those verses, is saying that the things that bring you sorrow is the things that will reveal your faith. And a revealed faith is something to be joyful about. The very fact that I was under 50 and had a stroke, and then I turned 50 and had a heart attack, but it revealed, not because I have so much faith and I shall be healed, but that whether God healed me or not, I'm in his presence, he's with me, amen. It revealed that he put that faith there, and it ain't going away, ain't no stroke, ain't no heart attack, ain't no nothing taking it away. I've got something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, and the devil can't touch. That's what's going on. That's what he's saying. Peter says, look, you're going to have these trials, but God's going to use the thing that gives you sorrow to give you joy. Only God can do that. Think about that. He's the only one with that kind of power. No money can do that. None of that stuff can do that. He's better than alcohol. He's better than sex. He's better than drugs. He's better than anything. He's Jesus. Amen. Yes. That's what he's saying. Think about that. That's the power that he has. Take the worst thing. They can do the worst thing. Anything can happen to you. And Jesus reveals your faith through that. That's power. Amen. I've got the power. Amen. Telling you. A faith revealed is a thing to rejoice in. It's more precious than gold, he says. Just turn there yourself and read it. That's what those verses mean. It's funny because when I had my stroke, that's the verses we were preaching through, 1 Peter. Ta-da. Yeah. Jesus comes to you in a powerful way, and it's far greater than simply avoiding or escaping sorrow, especially when you do so by sinning. You need to learn to value the victory of faith. When Jesus reveals himself to your heart and in your life, even though you don't fully physically see him, Peter says, there's the verse there, you have joy unspeakable, inexpressible, beyond words, and full of glory. What does that mean? It's that weighty revelation of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yes. He's just there, and you just know it. Yes. That's power. That's the transcendent, transforming power of God. That's the joy that Jesus gives you. The sorrowful trial can intensify your joy. when Jesus reveals himself as joy to you once again. Let's think about Jesus as joy. Jesus is joy. Let's say that. Jesus is joy. Jesus is joy. So let me use that metaphorically. The disciples were introduced to joy. And they grew and knew and loved joy. But joy had to go away. Joy had to be taken from them, and they had sorrow. But joy would return more powerfully than ever, and they would know joy in a deeper way than ever. But then joy had to go away again. Yet he would send his helper to give them joy while they waited for joy to return once again. And joy will return once again. And that joy will be full and final, greater than ever. It's going to overcome all sorrow, and it will never be taken away again. This maximum and perfect joy will last forever. And now the church does have a sense of sorrow as it waits for the return of the Lord. But it's going to have ultimate joy when Jesus is revealed once again, fully and finally. Friend, what you need to do today is you need to see Jesus again. But you won't if you keep holding on to that thing that isn't him. You need to see Jesus again, but you won't if you keep holding on to that thing that isn't him. So let me ask you, what are you holding on to that's keeping you from a greater revelation of Jesus in your life? What do you keep turning back to that keeps Jesus from blowing up in your life? Perhaps your mindset is this: I'm not going to give up what I already got. But maybe what you've got is just fear and misery and guilt and frustration. Maybe you've been deceived into a wrong sort of dependence. Let me ask you, would you be willing to give up some material thing if you knew that your fear and frustration would go with it? But I can't give up this house. We've been telling you for 10 years, give up the house. You hold on to it anyway, and the guilt and the fear and the misery and the frustration, then you get mad at the rest of us for telling you what the right thing to do is. And you're living in that pit. And you say, help me out of the pit. Now give me back the shovel. Would you be willing to give up some goal if you got peace and joy instead? I don't want the promised land. I want the presence of God. God could say, you go up, like he said to Moses. Go up. I'll send my angel before you. Knock all the ites on their rear ends. It's a land of milk and honey. You're going to love it. Go, but I'm not going with you. The people realized, no, 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 no. Without the presence of God, there is no promised land. Without Jesus, it ain't heaven. People are trying for this utopia and all that, and Jesus ain't there. I don't want it. But if Jesus is there, no matter what, I want it. That's the proof of this life. Do you want him or not? Now think about it. Are you a Christian? I just told you if you are or not. You hear me? Would you be willing to give up some goal if you got peace and joy instead? If you really know what peace and joy were, have you really ever had it? Have you really ever had that transforming joy that overcomes sorrow? Not that you don't have sorrow, but that you can find him in it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, think. It's time for you to learn to let go of good things so that you can grab hold of better things. You have to let go of your fear if you want to let go of your sorrow and find joy. You have to let go of your fear if you want to let go of your sorrow and find joy and not feel guilty about it. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You don't have to fear an unknown future when you know God. The disciples had to let go of Jesus so that he could prepare a place for them in heaven. Let go of that thing. And sometimes what you're letting go of isn't as good as you think it is anyway. What could possibly be worth more than Jesus? What precious sin is worth more than the presence of God? You might feel anxious about letting go of that sin, letting go of that concern, letting go of some precious thing, precious goal, precious person. But Jesus says to cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let him show his love and you'll receive his joy. And no one can take that from you. Heavenly Father, beauty for ashes. The oil of gladness instead of sorrow. Lord, we sorrow now. We fast. We pray. in the midst of some of our joy, there's still all the sorrow, knowing that this world is this. We groan inwardly as we await the adoption of sons, the manifestation of the children of God. And we know that one day you will be here. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.